You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, first off, before I get started, man, just want to say shout out to fall, man. Fall is officially here. Weather feels great outside. Yeah, it is a little chillier in the morning time, but man, overall, it feels great during the day. Shout out to October, man. Excited to see what this next chapter of the year. Praying for nothing but peace, happiness, more opportunities, more blessings, more success for each and every one of y'all that's tuning in, man. Really excited about what October is going to bring. And before, you know, also before I get into our topics, man, I just wanted to say my thoughts and prayers go out to those residents of the state of Florida, man, with the hurricane that came through and, you know, tore up a lot of the major cities in the state and also the smaller cities as well. You know, like I said, continuing to pray for you all and your families, those who are residents of Florida or may have relatives or friends that are in the state of Florida, because I have some myself as well. So again, man, praying for each and every one of you all. Well, let's jump into our sports topics, man. So we got some good stuff to talk about. First, man, let's take it to college, man. Let's talk about the AP College, the top 25 poll. And I'm going to just run down the top 25 poll, give a little thought to that, and then we'll talk about some of the biggest matchups that are heading into this weekend, man, that you need to be tuned in to see. So, again, man, let's run through the top 25. So, number one, we got Georgia coming in number one. Alabama is two. Ohio State is three. Michigan is four. Clemson is five. USC is six. Kentucky is 7, Tennessee is 8, Oklahoma State 9, NC State is 10, Penn State is 11, Utah is 12, Oregon is 13, Ole Miss is 14, Washington is 15, Baylor 16, Texas A&M 17, Oklahoma 18, BYU 19, Arkansas 20, Minnesota's 21, Wake Forest 22, Florida State 23, Pitt is 24, and Kansas State is 25. So there you have it, man. That's your top 25 as it stands right now in the AP coaches poll. And let me just remind everybody, these rankings are not official until later on. I want to say November when the official rankings come out for the College Football Playoff Committee. But right now, these are what the rankings are, man, according to the coaches. So just looking at it, man, I you know, immediately looking at the SEC, man, being well represented in the top 25, just showing, you know, the SEC, I mean, it's still the premier conference, always has been, you know, for the last 10 years, 10 or more years, man, and just continues to show why, man, just well represented, you know, obviously Georgia, Bama, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, like I said, man, just well represented in the top 25. And I also, you know, continue to expect to see, you know, some of these teams that are lower continue to rise up in the rankings, man. So we get more, even more teams in the top 10, you know. So, you know, obviously that will be a little difficult because now conference play has happened. So we have a lot of the, you know, we have some teams that are going to be playing each other. So it might be a little difficult seeing the SEC break too many teams in the top 10. But right now, sitting at four, that's a good representation, man. Now, nothing else really jumps out to me too much. I mean, looking at the top three, I'm really not questioning that. Really, honestly, right now, the four, I guess Michigan is cool up at there. It's cool at number four. Clemson, to me, you know, Clemson, they show how vulnerable they were last weekend, man. Wake Forest really should have won the game against Clemson, but they gave them the game. So, but they had Clemson on the ropes. You took them to overtime. So I think Clemson is that team that, you know, you definitely can look at and say, look, they're beatable. You know, nobody's afraid of Clemson. Other than that, man, I don't have any other major observations looking at the top 25. I'm okay with it as it stands right now. Okay, let's talk about the biggest matchups, man, for this weekend. So first, man, let's look at number 7, Kentucky, and number 14, Ole Miss. So you got Ole Miss opening as a 7-point favorite in this game, and over and under in this game is 54.5 points. Kentucky's quarterback, Will Levis, he actually is 79 of 117 for right now, 1,185 yards passing and 10 total touchdowns on the year. Then their wide receiver, Tavion Robinson, he has 20 total receptions so far on the year, 349 yards and 2 touchdowns, so he leads the team in receiving. And their running back for Ole Miss, Quinshon Judkins, he has 70 carries so far, 429 yards, and 5 total touchdowns. And their wide receiver, Jonathan Mingo, 12 receptions, 257 yards, and 1 touchdown. But he's also averaging at the same time, even though he has 1 touchdown, he's averaging 24 yards a catch. So, as you can see, that he has that big playmaking ability, averaging 20-plus yards a catch. So, they definitely like, you know, to Jackson Dart definitely, you know, sees him as that down and has him as a downfield threat, And we definitely can see how Lane Kiffin will be able to use Jonathan Mingo later on down the line, and especially in this game as well. So, you know, that's just a preview. I'm going to make my predictions just to let y'all know at the end of the show, but right now I'm just giving you a preview of the matchups that I'm going to be watching and that you should be tuned in for as well. And number 2 on the list, man, let's talk about number 2, Alabama, Roll Tide, at number 20, Arkansas, man. Arkansas coming off of a tough loss against Texas A&M in a shootout game last weekend, man. It was definitely a great game. But unfortunately, man, Texas A&M was able to pull out with the win, which didn't make the Arkansas-Alabama game a top 10 matchup like it was initially, because Arkansas dropped from 10 to 20, so it would have been 2 versus 10. But nevertheless, still a huge game, still a big SEC showdown, regardless of what the rankings are. Bama opens this game as a 17-point favorite, and over-under in this one, 61 points. Bryce Young, 83 of 121 right now for 1,029 yards, 13 total touchdowns. He also has 2 rushing touchdowns. And their wide receiver, Trayshon Holden, 15 receptions, 214 yards, 4 total touchdowns on the year. And Arkansas's quarterback, KJ Jefferson, 67 of 97, 941 yards, 8 total touchdowns, and he has 4 rushing touchdowns. And then their running back, Raheem Sanders, has 83 carries so far on the year, 508 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So that's, like I said, 2 SEC showdowns right there. Just excited to see those. And again, remember, giving my predictions at the end of the show, so stay tuned. Number 3, you got number 9, Oklahoma State, traveling to number 16, Baylor. Baylor opens is just a 2.5-point favorite in this game, so not a huge favorite at all at home. And the over-under in this one is 56.5 points. Oklahoma State's quarterback, Spencer Sanders, he's 62 of 95 on the year for 916 yards and 10 total touchdowns. Their wide receiver, Braden Johnson, leads the team in receiving with 14 receptions, 300 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And Baylor's running back, Richard Reese, he actually leads the team in rushes, 55 carries, 315 yards, and 6 total touchdowns on the year already. So, got a Big 12 showdown going down there. And last but not least, man, you got number 10 NC State traveling to number 5 Clemson. Clemson opens this as a 7-point favorite. The over-under in this game is 44 points. Quarterback DJ Uiagalelei for Clemson, he's 83 of 129, 1,033 yards, and 10 total touchdowns on the year so far. And their running back, Will Shipley, he has 52 carries, 353 yards, and 7 total touchdowns. And on the other end, NC State's quarterback, Devin Leary, 80 of 125, 890 yards, and 9 total touchdowns. And their wide receiver, Thayer Thompson, has 15 receptions, 217 yards, and 2 total touchdowns on the year. So those are my top 4 games I'm going to be watching again. Number 7, Kentucky, at number 14, Ole Miss. Number 2, Alabama, at number 20, Arkansas. Number 9, Oklahoma State, at number 16, Baylor. And number 10, NC State, at number 5, Clemson. Those predictions are coming soon, so stay tuned, man. So let's take it to the NFL, man. Let's talk about Tua. So Tua suffered a serious head and neck injury last night on Thursday Night Football when they traveled to Cincinnati to face off against the Cincinnati Bengals. Question here, man, looking at this situation, did the Dolphins put Tua in harm's way by playing him in last night's game? So let's look at this, okay? So Tua was taken to a local hospital in Cincinnati after he suffered, like I said, serious head and neck injuries in that second quarter of last night's game against the Bengals, where he hit the back of his head on the ground. And when I tell y'all, this is one of the scariest things that you can see, you know, watching the sport, and even being a player, just being on the field next to your teammate, his body almost immediately seized up, and his fingers were stuck in one in both his hands. His fingers were just stuck in one position. His body was just literally, like I said, he was seized up. It's just a scary sight to see overall, man. And he remained on the field for, it was 10 minutes before he ultimately left out on the stretcher. But just that 10 minutes of just watching him just laying on the ground and not moving was very terrifying. You never want to see a player go through anything like that. You know, we love this sport. We never want to see anybody injured, especially head injuries that are career-ending injuries, that are life-threatening, they're lifelong injuries, you know, that could be very, very serious to your overall health in life after football. But thank God, because Tua is now conscious and he did regain movement in all his extremities last night. He was discharged from the hospital where he joined the team and was able to travel back with them to Miami last night after the game. Now, let's take a step back, okay? So, let's go back to last week, Dolphins hosting the Buffalo Bills at home in a divisional battle, okay? Divisional game, Bills, Dolphins, cool. Tua actually entered the concussion protocol last week after hitting his head on the ground after he was sacked against the Bills, right? And if you all recall, if you were watching the game, if you weren't, there were clips that were posted all over the place where, and they even showed it last night during the Thursday Night Football game, where Tua got up after he was sacked and his head hit the ground and tried to jog up the field, and he stumbled. He stumbled to the ground. Teammates had to help him up, and he was escorted to the locker room. But he was cleared, and he was able to return in the second half of that football game. Now, the Dolphins initially claimed that he had a head injury. But then they downgraded and said that, no, it wasn't a head injury. It was a lower back injury. So it wasn't so much of a head injury. Now, it went from head, which we clearly saw him hit his head on the ground. But no, it wasn't his head so much. Now it's his lower back. So my question here is, we all know when you get up and stumble like that, that's clearly a concussion. Clearly. What I want to know, and what we all want to know, is why was Tua cleared so quickly after he clearly had a concussion? Why was he out on the field playing 4 days later in the Thursday Night Football game just after suffering a concussion? The Dolphins have so much explaining to do, because they did a terrible job, and they did, in fact, put Tua in harm's way. They got to explain themselves. You know, there is no excuse. And, you know, the head coach, you know, he comes out and he says, you know, I would never put the players in harm's way. And, you know, he used words like, yeah, it was nothing more than a concussion and stuff like that. Just very questionable words in his statements that he made following Thursday night's game and a loss that they suffered against the Bengals. And so now, in 1 to 2 weeks, the NFL Players Association is actually going to launch an investigation in the handling of Tua's concussion evaluation after, like I said, they were initially announced it as a head injury, and they changed it to that back injury. So my whole thing is this, look, there's no way that you can sit up here and tell me they took him to that locker room. And yeah, I get it. You know, the players always say that, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good to go. I can go back out there. And they take their word for it. No, this is a situation like, you know, all of the analysts have been saying this on each and every show that we've been watching, even every sports talk show, every radio show that we've been hearing, man, is talking about protecting players from themselves. It's talking about protecting the players from, you know, the organization as well. Because obviously you look at it, and there was one analyst that mentioned this, you have a big divisional matchup, you know, and obviously, you know, people in their own selfish minds are like, look, we need to win this game. You know, with Tua out there, he gives us the best position to win. I mean, gets the best chance to win. And so, obviously, they're going to want to put him back out there. If he says he's okay, then cool. We'll put Tua back out there. But you need to take a step back and say, look, what are we really doing here? We just clearly saw him stumble and fall to the ground. That is a concussion. There is no way he needs to be back out on the field at all. There's no way. No excuse. I don't care what anybody in the Dolphins organization says. He should not have gone back in that game against Buffalo, and he should not have been playing 4 days later at all. Thank God that he does have his, like I said, he regained movement, and thank God that he is okay. And he did release a statement today, you know, thanking everybody and saying that he's going back to work and try to get back out on the field, which, you know, he obviously needs to sit out for a while. You know, it needs to be weeks, you know. I don't know how many weeks, but it definitely needs to be weeks before we need to know that he is okay. Because you got two back-to-back concussions in 4 days. That's not healthy. And, you know, and we have to look at it like, look, player safety should always be the number one priority, and the Dolphins failed him. You know, somebody, like I said, man, somebody needs to get fined. Somebody needs to get fired, something. But I also, you know, something really jumped out at me after listening to some of the sports talk shows too, because they say, you know what, firing somebody, and, you know, people get fired all the time, so firing the coaches is not necessarily going to take away the problem. You have to change the culture and the mentality within the organizations. And I thought that really was something that jumped out at me, because that's true. I think that, you know, getting somebody out of the way, that's really just sweeping it out of the rug, because you have another person that can come in with the same type of mentality. So what is the culture and what is the standard that you want to set in your organization? And you have to follow that. You know, we're talking about human beings out here, man, that have families, that have that are children to parents that, you know, they are sitting there watching their loved ones out there on that field, and they need to be reassured that they're going to be protected, and the head coach is going to have their best interest and say, look, you're not going back out there. I don't care what you say. I love you, but you can't go back out there. There was a story that came out about Mike Tomlin and Ryan Clark, where Ryan Clark had a situation where he suffered an injury. And I can't remember if it was a head injury or not, but he wanted to go out and play and compete, and Mike Tomlin told him, no, that's protecting the player from themselves, because they all want to compete and they all want to go out there because that's their livelihood. But when we're talking about the health, safety, and well-being of these players, man, you have to put that as the number one priority. And the fact that happened Thursday night is only going to elevate and increase that investigation by the NFL Players Association of the way that the Dolphins mishandled, because they didn't handle it correctly. They mishandled Tua's concussion judgment, man. The judgment that they used was clearly more about winning than it was to his safety. And that's all I got to say about it, man. Hey, that's really it, man. And I really felt bad for Tua, but I'm glad that he is okay. At the end of the day, he is okay. And that's one thing that we can all be thankful for and that we can all celebrate, you know, that he will be okay. And let's continue in the NFL right now, man. And let's talk about another quarterback, man. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson. So Lamar Jackson, man, he's been lighting it up and continues to light it up and prove the doubters wrong while he's playing under his fifth-year option, man. So let's just take a step back, man, and just recap prior to the season and leading into Lamar Jackson playing on his fifth-year option. So he did turn down, as we recall, the Ravens contract offer before the season. He decided to, you know, bet on himself, play under that fifth-year option. So he's making $23 million, but he has no guaranteed money currently after the season. So the Ravens, obviously, they said they plan to get a long-term deal done, but after the season. Now, let's look at some other quarterbacks around the league in their contract situation. So Deshaun Watson, obviously, he had the $230 million fully guaranteed contract. You had Kyler Murray, he had his $230 million contract with $180 million guaranteed. Russell Wilson had just signed a five-year, $242 million contract with $161 million guaranteed. So three quarterbacks, they have deals that exceed $165 million guaranteed. And Lamar Jackson, you know, obviously they failed to get a deal done with Lamar. And despite the frustrations, I feel like, you know, Lamar has handled this situation very professionally. He's handled it very well. He's come in. He still was present at practice, still engaged, still there. So you have to, you know, commend Lamar Jackson for the way that he has handled this situation as a man and as a professional. Now, looking at this, Lamar has taken more hits than any other quarterback since 2018. So he's been hit 737 times. So him playing with no guaranteed money, obviously, as we all know, is a huge risk. You know, since taking over as the Ravens starting quarterback in 2018, the Ravens are 37-12 with Lamar Jackson, and they're 2-5 without him. And he was MVP in 2018. So we all recall that year. Just to recap last year, he threw 13 interceptions. He did miss five games, and including the last four because of an ankle injury. So let's look at now and what Lamar Jackson is doing right now through 3 weeks in the season. In the first 3 weeks of this season, Lamar leads the NFL with 10 total touchdown passes and 12 total scores. He has 749 yards passing, and Ravens, obviously, they're 2-1 right now. Jackson has produced 87% of the total yards for the league's number one scoring offense. So the Ravens are the number one scoring offense. Lamar produced 87% of that total yards. This is ahead of his 2019 pace in every statistical category. He currently ranks fifth in the NFL in rushing at 243 yards and first in rushing average. So he's averaging just under 10 yards and 9 yards a carry. Every time he rushes the ball. Now, last time a Ravens quarterback turned down a contract extension was 2012, which was Joe Flacco. He led the Ravens to a Super Bowl and ultimately became the highest paid player in the NFL that following season. So, obviously, the Ravens are hoping that there could be a repeat of that situation. Lamar leads it to a Super Bowl, and you know, obviously, he will get paid then. But looking at it, man, the price, you're looking at this Lamar Jackson situation, man, the price is continuing to go up. The Ravens, they better be ready to pay him, because the price, like I said, what's the saying, man? Yesterday's price is not today's price, man. The bag is going up, man. So Baltimore, y'all better be ready to pay the man. And I'm so happy for Lamar Jackson. I'm really, you know, I still personally think he does need to get an agent. I do not agree with him not having an agent. I still think that it's important to get an agent. when it comes to handling legal, you know, stuff in the NFL and stuff like that. When it comes to contract talks and things of that nature, I do think that it's smart and more and beneficial to get an agent. I feel the same way about Chicago Bears linebacker Roquan Smith, who also represents himself. You know, I just think it's better when you have an agent. You know, hopefully, you know, those two will, you know, ultimately do that. But right now, that's not the case. But it does make it, you know, having an agent does make things a little easier for you. You're not having to do it all by yourself. But like I said, man, I'm happy to see Lamar succeed, because a lot of, you know, there's people out here that doubt him. There's people out here that say, you know, this and that about Lamar Jackson. But one thing that you can't take away from him is the effort and the way that he carries himself each and every time he gets on the football field, man. He's giving 110% effort, man, and he's always engaged in the game, always in the moment. And I think that him betting on himself, I think that initially you're looking at it like, look, man, just sign and get whatever they give you, is what many people may say. But then you look at it and you're like, look, betting on himself is allowing him to play with a chip on his shoulder. And we see what we've been seeing through this first 3 weeks of the season is him playing with a chip on his shoulder. And you can tell, you know, and he's not, like I said, he's not going about it the wrong way. He's just going out there and like, look, you know what? Let me go ahead and show them, because they obviously forgot, you know, who the face of the franchise is. The Ravens would not be who they are, where they are without Lamar Jackson. And they know that and they understand that. Well, if they didn't know, now they know. They better know. Somebody in the organization better know. Because at the end of this year, Lamar Jackson is in for a big payday. So looking forward to seeing him get his money. Let's transition, man. Let's talk about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. So question is right now, man, is there a quarterback controversy in Dallas, man? Obviously, you know, Dak Prescott went down with the injury. Backup Cooper Rush has come in, has led he's 2-0 as the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback right now. He's 2-0. All right. So now questions are coming up. Like, look, hey, Cooper Rush is balling in this offense, man. Is Dak's job in question? Is, you know, is he going to be, you know, sit down when he comes back healthy? Are they going to sit him? You know, what's going to happen? Answer to this question is simple. No. The answer is simple. No. There's no quarterback controversy. You know, Cooper Rush, obviously, he's balling. Like I said, Cowboys are 2-1. He's 2-0 as their starter. There's no controversy. Dak is going to be the starter when he returns from injury. You know, look at it. Let's just look at the situation. The Cowboys just gave Dak a 4-year, $160 million contract with $126 million guaranteed. So no matter what, they got to play him when he returns, or they just wasted money. You know, and I know that Jerry Jones is not wasting any money at all. He's not going to throw any money away. You know, Dak is the eighth highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Now, Cooper Rush balling like he is and playing good is actually building his resume, you know, to be able to potentially start for another team next year. So, you know, I think that that's the good in what he's doing to help himself out, because, you know, obviously no one wants to stay a backup forever. And I do think that, you know, there will be some teams out here that may be looking for quarterbacks next year. You never know. But I definitely think that, you know, if he continues to ball the way he's balling, you know, his name is obviously going to pop up and jump out to coaches to come in and try to win a starting quarterback job, especially with, you know, we have some quarterback, you know, situations that are going on where in different organizations where, you know, they don't necessarily, they named a starter, but they may not necessarily be committed to that person as being the starting quarterback. So we'll definitely see what happens, but there's no controversy in Dallas. Let's not jump the gun like that. So the time has come, people. Let's talk about these predictions for these big matchups on college football Saturday, man. It's time for me to tell y'all who I think is going to win each game. So, man, let's jump into it right now. First game, number 7, Kentucky at number 14, Ole Miss, man. Let's look at the matchup across the board. So, Kentucky is currently number 4 in the SEC in passing yards per game with 296 passing yards a game. They're 5th in points allowed at 13. So only allowing 13 points a game, and they're 4th in yards allowed per game at 272. Like I said, Kentucky's quarterback, Will Levis, is 4th in the SEC in passing right now. And their wide receiver, Tavion Robinson, is 3rd in the SEC in rushing. Looking at Ole Miss on the other side, Ole Miss is 4th in the SEC in yards a game at 488. Number 1 in the SEC in rushing yards a game at 280. Number 3 in points allowed at 10 points per game, and number 2 in sacks at 13. So Ole Miss stacking it up in the ranks in the SEC in each of those statistical categories. Now, Ole Miss's running back, Quinshon Judkins, he's 2nd in the SEC in rushing. So looking at this matchup, man, my pick, I'm going with Ole Miss in this one. Man, I think Lane Kiffin, you know, obviously great play caller, offensive genius, guru when it comes to dialing up big plays. I think that, you know, at home he'll be able to put together enough huge chunk plays, and their offense will have some success against Kentucky on the road. Now, Kentucky is not going to be an easy team to just run over now, but I do think that Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin will have Ole Miss ready to go at home, and I think that they'll put some big plays together, and I think that they'll make more plays than Kentucky. I definitely think Kentucky's going to fight, but I think that Lane Kiffin is going to find a way to get this W for Ole Miss, and that'll move Ole Miss up in the rankings. So we'll see, but I'm going with Ole Miss in this one. Next up, man, number 2, Alabama at number 20, Arkansas. So Alabama is 3rd in the SEC in yards a game at 517, 3rd in rushing yards a game at 235, number 1 in points allowed at 7 points a game, and number 1 in yards allowed per game at 201, and also number 3, in sacks in the SEC at 12. Will Anderson is currently tied for 2nd in the SEC in sacks at 4.5. And you got Bryce Young, 2nd in the SEC in touchdown passes, currently has 13 on the year, and he's 6th in the SEC in passing. Now, Arkansas, they're 2nd in the SEC in rushing yards a game at 243, number 1 in sacks at 20. And their running back, Raheem Sanders, he's number 1 in the SEC in rushing at 508 yards currently. And their linebacker, Drew Sanders, who's a former linebacker at Alabama who transferred in the portal, he is number 1 in sacks in the SEC at 5.5. Their cornerback, Dwight McLaughlin, he is tied for 1st in interceptions at 2. So, you know, looking at this matchup, this is obviously going to be a good SEC battle. You know, Arkansas being led by KJ Jefferson, big body. Quarterback, man, reminds you of Cam Newton. We all remember last year the shootout that happened between Alabama and Arkansas when Arkansas traveled to Tuscaloosa. You know, obviously Arkansas has some big wide receivers. So this is going to be a challenge for the cornerbacks, a good challenge and a good test for Alabama's defensive backs, you know, because they got guys, you know, 6'4", 6'5", wide receivers. So, you know, obviously Jordan Battle is going to be an important piece too if he can play, because right now he is he did sustain a hamstring injury, so he was day to day. So I'm sure he'll be a game time decision. So looking to see what's going to happen with that, but this is going to be a good battle. But overall, man, I'm going. I know y'all didn't think I was going against Alabama, man. I mean, for real, Roll Tide, man, all day, man. We rocking with the Tide. We rolling with the Tide all day long. Alabama goes into Arkansas, gets this win. I think that Bryce Young is obviously the X factor with his playmaking ability, his poise in the pocket. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. I think that Alabama is going to be able to put together a good offensive performance. Coming off of the big one that they had against Vanderbilt, I think they're going to, this is a bigger test, but I think that they're going to put together a good game plan and be able to execute it. I think that Bryce Young will be able to get some pretty good plays down the field, especially with Arkansas's safety, Catalan. He's out for this game as well, if I'm not mistaken. But I definitely think that Alabama has some opportunities for some big plays down the field, more big plays and consistency, which we hadn't necessarily seen too much of in each and every game. We have seen it. We did see some consistency, a lot of that against Vanderbilt, which was a great start. But we definitely need to see that carrying over into this week, too, against Alabama's first big SEC test. So next up, man, number 9, Oklahoma State at number 16, Baylor. Oklahoma State is number 2 in the Big 12 in yards a game at 511, number 2 in passing yards a game at 348, and number 2 in sacks at 10. Their quarterback, Spencer Sanders, he's number 5 in the Big 12 in passing at 916 yards currently. And their wide receiver, Braden Johnson, is number 4 in receiving at 300 yards. Now, Baylor is number 3 in points allowed at 16 points a game, number 3 in yards allowed at 305 points a game, and tied for 2nd in sacks at 10. So, in this matchup, man, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. I know that they're going on the road against Baylor, but looking at Oklahoma State, man, this is an offense that Baylor hasn't seen before, offense who's averaging at least 50 points per game. I think that they have some big playmaking ability. And look, let's face it, who plays defense in the Big 12 anyway? I mean, let's be honest, man. I mean, looking at their games, it's always like 48 to 60 and something crazy like that, some basketball score. But like I said, man, I think Oklahoma State has enough firepower offensively to be able to go into Baylor and make some plays. And I know, you know, obviously Baylor's number 3 in points allowed, and you know they don't allow a lot of points. It's just they don't allow too many points. Just 16 a game, but we got an offense like Oklahoma State. Like I said, they haven't seen this yet, so it's definitely going to be a test and a challenge. But I'm rocking with Oklahoma State on the road. And last but not least, man, number 10 NC State at number 5 Clemson. NC State is number 1 in the ACC in points allowed per game at 11. Number 2 in yards allowed at 261. Yards per game. Their cornerback, Aiden White, he's currently tied for 1st in picks at 2. Clemson is 4th in the ACC in yards a game at 458, 4th in passing yards a game at 275, and 5th in rushing yards a game at 183. Now, Clemson's quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, he's number 3 in passing at 1,033 yards, and their running back, Will Shipley, he's 4th in rushing in the ACC at 350 yards. So with this pick, man, I'm going to go with NC State to go on the road and knock off Clemson. I think Clemson was exposed last week against Wake Forest. Wake Forest, you know, had their way with that defense. They were able to move the ball down the field, really testing those defensive backs. And there were a lot of big plays that were made in that game by Wake Forest's offense. And I think that with NC State, looking at them, man, they could come in, you know, look at what Wake Forest did and where they had success and really go out and exploit that defense, you know, because like I said before, nobody's afraid and nobody's scared of Clemson in the ACC. And that proved it, you know, like I said, Wake Forest doing what they did. I mean, that clearly just proves it. I know that they were at home, but a few years ago, man, that home game, the Clemson's running away with that easily. That's not a game a few years ago. But the times have changed, and I think that, you know, Wake Forest did a really good job of exposing some holes in Clemson's defense. Now, offensively, I mean, obviously they make some, you know, they have some big playmaking ability with their wide receivers, with their running back, Will Shipley. But ultimately, you know, I definitely look at that defense like, hey, there's question marks there. So can NC State go in and can they make enough plays on the road to be able to get this win? I'm going to pick the upset. I mean, it's an upset, but it's still a top 10 matchup, you know, not too terrible of an upset, but I definitely think that, you know, it still would be an upset nonetheless. So that's what I'm rocking with. And that's all I have for y'all, man. You know, y'all know what? Look, I need to start doing some NFL game predictions as well. It's so many games to predict, but you know, I think next week what I'll start doing, I'm gonna predict some the NFL matchups too. So sorry about that. I should have prepared that for y'all. But like I said, man, I'll make sure I fit that in there next week, man. Give y'all some of these NFL predictions as well. But hey, man, I appreciate everybody again jumping in, giving me some of your time. As always, continue to rock with me. I'll be back next week. Give y'all some more good, healthy sports talk as always, man. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the start of October. Fall is here, like I said before, man. Peace, blessings to each and every one of y'all. Be blessed. I'm out. See y'all next week.